At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Inclusive Collective, where we share stories and learnings of inclusive people, organizations, and innovation. I am your co-host, Nadia Butt. I'm an organizational development and belonging strategist, and I am joined by my friend, Rob Hadley, a people and culture strategist specializing in DE&I and people analytics. Hi, Rob. How are you?
And just, you know, life in general. I specialize in advice.
You specialize in life?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's always good.
I do some advice on that. Yeah, but thanks for that setup.
Yeah,
I'll limit myself to people analytics and DEI today.
Sure.
That's all I'm doing today.
That's all today and this week. So, Rob, in honor of the end of the year, I wanted to kind of just ask you if you had any favorite kind of moments or memorable moments or a guest that you really appreciated joining, a discussion that you enjoyed listening to, or anything wise that I said, because, you know.
well, everything that you and I, all of our interactions are memorable. I will say that.
Sure. They are.
Yeah, they're memorable. And some of my favorites for sure. So not really a favorite, but there's something that I have been thinking about a lot about. And that is, you might probably wouldn't guess it, but Alicia Thomas, who is the director of DEI at Harvard, MBA and PhD programs, right? So it's a great episode. Definitely check it out if you haven't already, to, you know, for folks that are listening. But Alicia talks about the wraparound care that they give MBA students that they receive. And so they how they really try to think about belonging for students. For those of you that don't know, if you go to a full-time MBA program in something like Harvard, you invest a ton of money. You basically live this lifestyle for 20, 24 months. It's super social. It's very elitist. It's very hyper-capitalist. So it's super performative, right? Like you go to cocktail reception with the Goldman Sachs recruiter and you have to try to be funny and connect with your peers and you're always on. All the things that you hate about work. You have to really just dial all those things up, right? And so, and Alicia talks about the support for different types of people that they need, whether you're minoritized racially or from a gender or sexual identity perspective, or if you're a first gen grad student, right? And so, so I thought about the value there about that they're creating, right? So that these people end up running companies, nonprofits, they become senators, unfortunately, sometimes, but and getting them through emotionally, spiritually intact and with a sense of community. So I think about how important that is. I also think about that in the context of the current debate about campuses and, on my former campuses and campuses across the country about academic freedom and how supported students feel right now, both, very narrowly from anti-Islamic and anti-Semitic rhetoric on campuses. Mm-hmm. I think about how conservative groups are trying to force the president of Harvard out. The New York Post raised these issues about plagiarism in Claudine Gay's published works. Yeah. Which, Nadia, you know, the New York Post is super dedicated as an institution to, and they're committed to academic integrity.
To mitigate bias.
Absolutely. They are locked in on these issues. And then states like my own that are even trying to make work like the very thoughtful work that Alicia Thomas is doing go away entirely. So that's just been really in the back of my mind. And so I'm wishing Alicia Thomas and her team there at Harvard warm wishes at the end of the year.
That's great. Actually, I really enjoyed that conversation with her as well. And I feel like that was right at the beginning of what was being decided with SCOTUS. And she couldn't talk about it at the time. But I do appreciate the fact that she was talking about some of the things that they were doing for students who had these marginalized identities. And so, really great episode, I think. Absolutely, folks should take a listen to that if they haven't already.
What sticks out for you?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We clearly like the professors or the people in academia, because I really enjoyed our conversation that we had with Dr. Peter Huang. So for folks that may not remember, he was a professor, also an attorney. He wrote a book called Disrupting Racism. And he talked with us about the connection of mindfulness practices to DE&I, and along with that, really particularly like examining your thoughts to help kind of make better decisions and mitigating biases, using humor to kind of, you know, inject humor, he says, to really help people talk better or navigate healthier conversations or difficult conversations. You talked about listening and having empathy and connecting with people and like learning from folks, right? Actually talking to people and learning from them. So yeah, I really enjoyed that, because I, you know, he talked also about like that piece of mindfulness related to bias, and how there's been studies done where that really truly reduces racist actions and reduces implicit biases. So it's just a reminder that there are other types of wellness activities such as mindfulness that folks can practice to really examine their biases and then help them think through what are some action steps to further mitigate them. So I really appreciated the conversation with Dr. Huang, and that was, I think, in season 4 as well, earlier on. So if folks haven't had an opportunity to take a listen, definitely download the episode and tune in over the holiday break.
Yeah. And I and particularly enjoyed the humorous parts, or the references to certain humorous clips, and the reference toward using humor as a way to call out people before their biases and help them understand them as well, and and use them use humor as a tool for education. So
yeah, and he's quite funny himself.
He is
right.
He
was like he was a delight to have on the podcast as a guest. So
yes. All right, let's take a quick break, Nadia. We'll come back with a couple of more stories, or what we know around here as the deets.
The deets.
Stay with us.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As we migrated more of our business to the cloud, we were seeing expenses go up, but we couldn't pinpoint the cause. It seemed less of a cloud, more of a fog. That's why we brought on Cloud Optimizer, and they saved the day.
Are you seeing your cloud hosting bills go up and you're not sure why? It's time to put Cloud Optimizer to work for you. Cloud Optimizer analyzes usage patterns, right-sizes resources, leverages discounts you may not be aware of, implements automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service.
With Cloud Optimizer, we have our spend under control, our company is more agile, profitable, and we're getting peak performance from our cloud.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Welcome back, folks. So I'll go ahead, Rob, with the first deed here. So a small business resource platform called Hello Alice has filed a motion recently to dismiss a class action lawsuit claiming a grant program offered in partnership with Progressive Insurance unlawfully discriminated against business owners based on race. So just a quick update on this. I read this in the Press Democrat last week. There's a partnership between Hello Alice and Progressive, where they offered $25,000 in grants to 10 Black-owned small businesses to be put toward the purchase of a commercial vehicle for their business. And then there was a lawsuit claiming from an Ohio resident, Nathan Roberts, who claimed that they experienced reverse discrimination and that he was treated differently because of his race. He is a white man who owns a business, a trucking dispatch company in Ohio. I will pause there for your reaction. Oh, and I'll just also offer, because I know how excited you get.
I know you don't know personally.
But just so you know that this person went to Stephen Miller's organization to seek the support for this claim.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And I think the Hello Alice brief or whatever motion was basically, there's four things that make it completely, utterly not utter nonsense or something like that. Right. And so, you know, they could have filed a legal brief titled, you know, this is bullshit. Right. But this is where the battle lines are being drawn. We talk about it a lot. Right. We should definitely have Samia Kamani, a real lawyer, on to talk about some of these issues other than me, because even though I love to lawyer a little bit, I am not trained as such. But, you know, again, I keep coming back to, this is probably BS and utter nonsense, like they said. Mm-hmm. However, at some point, they're going to find a case that can get to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And the way that I see the world is not going to be the way that the world is going to work going forward. Right. So companies need to prepare for that time in which voluntary affirmative action goes away. And global companies as well. I was, a lot of places around the world modeled their approach to affirmative action based on U.S. law and language as well. And so it's you know, people really should start thinking about, what are we going to do when this goes away? And how are we going to think about diversity, equity, and inclusion? And how are we going to advance those things and those values that we really care about in a world in which the contours of the law that we've become accustomed to for the last 30, 40 years are not in the same place.
Yeah, totally agree. And, you know, in addition, it's like still continuing to recognize that there are disparities between folks that have kind of always received these privileges, whether it's like through grants or through funding. And so, you know, Hello Alice, just so folks are aware, Hello Alice, this organization, has served 1.4 million small business owners and has administered over $40 million in grants to entrepreneurs all across different, like through supplier diversity contracts with businesses that are owned by veterans, women, or other socially disadvantaged groups. Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting that over the last, I would say, you know, probably 4 or 5 months, you and I have covered a similar claim like this and discussed it. And I feel like it's not going to end soon, like you mentioned. So we'll keep an eye out on this and some of the other claims that have been brought up. But I agree with you. I think that we got to figure out how to get a handle on them.
Apparently Nathan Roberts does not agree with you that there are still significant disadvantages from some groups.
Yeah.
He just feels left out.
He feels left out.
He wants to belong.
Excluded. Listen, we're not here to exclude people, but we also are here to make sure that everyone has the same playing field.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Check in on Nate Roberts.
We'll check on him. Yeah.
Nate Roberts.
Our buddy Nate.
All right. Nadia. All right. So we got a story about Meta. Meta, you know, they own Facebook, right? Do you remember how? Do you remember? Remember how, so before there was, Elon Musk turning Twitter into X, which is just really silly, there was Facebook turning into Meta, right? And so we forget how dumb that was as well.
It was so dumb.
But I still have to say Meta. Like, if you work for Nadia.
I say the Facebook, but all right.
Well, if you work for X and you go to a social gathering, do you say that you work for X or do you say Twitter? Or do you say, I work for X, and then people go, well, what's that? And you go, oh, it's Twitter.
Yeah, or people, do they say, like, that's a good, great question. Like, if I worked for X and I went to, like, a dinner party, and I think I would say I work for X, formerly known as Twitter. And I would say it in a very sarcastic tone so people really understood how annoyed I am that I still work in that company.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. You definitely would say the word. Yeah, you definitely say Twitter. Well, anyway, as an aside. So at Meta, a former global diversity strategist at Facebook, a Meta company, pled guilty to wire fraud after stealing more than $4 million to fund a lavish lifestyle, federal prosecutor said. Okay. Barbara Furlow-Smiles, who led various Facebook DE&I programs from 2017 to mid-2021, stole the money through an elaborate scheme involving fraudulent vendors, fictitious charges, and kickbacks, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Atlanta. So Nadia, she ran ERGs, so affinity group programming, and she would say, we're going to have a taco truck for Hispanic Latino Heritage Month, and then she would have a friend create an LLC, like, you know, taco truck, build Facebook, and then split the profit from that. That's obviously a bad example, because if I was approving an invoice for a taco truck and I didn't actually get tacos, that would be a red flag. And yeah. I would definitely investigate further, and this never would have happened. So Nadia.
Yeah.
Kickbacks. What do you think?
This is wild. Like I think as both of us, and I think you would agree with me that like as practitioners, as professionals, this is highly unethical. And I'm appalled because I feel like there's a part of our people practice kind of obligation to continue to be fair and equitable in the processes and practices that we role model within the workforce. So disappointed in this person. Come on, Barbara. Like, you could have done better, be better. So, just really appalled at that story.
Yeah, probably going to jail, right? I mean, wire fraud's a big deal. Yeah.
Like really heavy fines in addition to jail time.
Yeah, yeah. Not a good look.
Yeah.
But we do this. So the other thing that I think of is, you know, we do programming, right?
Sure.
Yeah. We do programs. We do little song and dance every once in a while. But, you know, it's the lowest order of importance to me personally, right? We also prefer to do education. And even that is tough sometimes. You get, you know, it's something that has to take place. But people show up and they're not necessarily wanting to be there. So I always think that, you know, 80 to 90% of a budget dedicated to DEI should be around data-driven problem solving. Right. Uh-huh. So creating action to have impact for the people that, you know, for the stakeholders of the organization, which are most often the employees. Right. And so it's just, you know, if you're spending that much on programs and then you're not necessarily following up to see if the programs are even taking place and someone's actually able to get kickbacks off of it, to me, that seems that you're being performative in the way that you're, you know, and what you're putting your budget toward.
And, you know, we talk about having like checks and balances. And what I mean by that is like this mindset of plan, do, check, adjust. And at some point in time, there should have been some sort of guardrails to understand whether it's like a team of people or a collaborator on the team that kind of checked and verified some of the vendors and the vendor partners that were being hired. Oftentimes, like, organizations will get, you know, quotes or, statements of works from three different organizations so that they can kind of compare, make sure services are kind of aligned and that maybe perhaps the cost or budget is market value, whatever they decide to do. And it just seemed like, I just don't know how at a big company like this that happened, where there was no checks and balances or accountability to hiring vendors and making kind of sure that those folks practice in an ethical manner.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's possible that this type of programming was, again, performative and no one was checking on it. Right. So if I ran a sales organization or sales trained programming and I spent $4 million, you would want everyone in that organization would be talking about how good the sales training programs were, right?
Yeah. Right.
And whereas this, it's not a priority. If you're able to bill $4 million and no one knows where it went, then that means that no one who is responsible is actually invested in these programs, right?
Yeah. I'm just curious. I know, like, I don't want to joke around about this, but I can't help but not. Like, what were the lavish lifestyles? Like, was she buying like Louis Vuitton bags? Like, what was happening? Do we know?
I don't think I invested enough time.
You don't follow her on X.
No, I thought it, but I I think that's something we should research as well.
Yeah.
So, anyway, thanks so much, Nadia. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with end of year rants and raves.
Welcome back, folks. Okay, it is that time for our final end of the year rants and raves. First, I just want to acknowledge we made it, Rob. We made it through a whole other year.
Yeah.
And pretty incredible. So
an award-winning year, Nadia.
An award-winning year. That's right. I know our producer, Aria, is smiling in the background. So, So why don't you kick us off with the rant?
So I just want to remind you of some things that actually happened this year. And so there was a near banking system collapse, and the Wall Street Journal said it was because banks were too woke. NASCAR was sued for being too woke. Yes, NASCAR, the sport where, you know, a bunch of white dudes would go around a track in a circle. There was Bud Light. There was the Bud Light saga where conservatives, they hate Bud Light, but Garth Brooks likes Bud Light, and somehow he's an inclusive figure. I think the state of Tennessee made it illegal to be in drag ever at any time.
That happened, right? So they sure did.
So people are exhausted. So there will be no rant today. I just want to wish everyone happy holidays if your holidays occur at this time of the year. And then a happy new year if your year ends at this time of year. We're so happy that our audience joins us every week and appreciate you as well, Nadia. So no rants this week.
Oh, that's sweet. No, I like that. Thank you for ending on that note, and some of those reminders where it was a tough year. So I appreciate that. I will end this segment with the organization PwC rolled out a neurodiversity interactive learning program to all of its 32,000 plus UK employees. It's called Great Minds, and then in parentheses, Don't Think Alike. This program explores the topic of neurodiversity and includes bite-sized resources, as well as, I thought, which was interesting, to tell the stories and experiences from its own PwC employees. So, I just wanted to kind of recognize that work. I haven't seen it, but I love the focus on neurodivergency, especially because it can be a visible or invisible dimension of diversity. And, you know, would love to see what it's like. So anyone at PwC who might be listening, if you want to pull me and Robin and kind of share with us the great work you're working on, would love to observe that. So
open invitation. Anyone at PwC. Anyone.
All like 100,000 employees.
Yeah, anywhere globally. Awesome. Thanks for that, Nadia. Yeah. That is it for Inclusive Collective for 2023. Just a reminder that if you are looking for DEI and workplace culture strategy consulting, problem solving, or training, you can reach Nadia@NazConsultants.com and Rob@TakanoConsulting.com. Inclusive Collective, as you know, Nadia, is a production of Refilion Media and edited by the wonderful Ari Mathay. Happy New Year, Ari. We'd love to hear from you all. So send us some feedback at inclusivecollective@refilion.com. You can also find us on LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Be sure to follow up with us on LinkedIn because you can subscribe to the IC monthly newsletter. If you like what you heard, please go out there and subscribe to the show, rate us wherever you get your podcast. Thanks again to our guests, Rob and Nadia. That's us. We will be back in 2024. Bye, Nadia.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and happy new year. Be well.
Didn't hear that?
Yeah, it's okay though. It's just silly. She's joining us in the end of the year.